In 1985, three Chinese adventurers completed the world's first expedition over the entire length of the Great Wall on foot. It was the team leader, Dong Yaohui, who first raised the idea of walking the entirety of the renowned World Heritage Site, which amounts to thousands of kilometers. Dong's historic Great Wall hike was beset by a variety of difficulties and challenges. But his odyssey also proved to be life-changing for him and the Great Wall to some extent.
The more you learn about the Great Wall, the more you feel that a lot needs to be done. There are many things for us and future generations to do for this great man-made project. Taking it as a mission for me to fulfill, I firmly devoted my life to the Great Wall. The ending of our expedition marked a new beginning for me.
Since completing his huge Great Wall hike, Dong has made tireless efforts to study and preserve this ancient creation. For all of his endeavors, he has been affectionately nicknamed the Son of the Great Wall. In our two-episode story, we'll learn about how Dong achieved his unprecedented walk along the Great Wall and what he's contributed towards its preservation. In the first episode, we focus on why and how he undertook his impressive journey along the Great Wall on foot. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to Footprints.
On the night of 1982 at the foot of the Shanhai Pass, which is the starting point of the eastern end of the Great Wall, three intrepid young men agreed upon a bold plan to walk the more than 6,000-kilometer-long Ming Dynasty Great Wall from one end to the other. Dong Yaohui was the first to suggest the idea. At the time, Dong was 25 and had a promising future as a power cable technician in the city of Qinhuangdao, where the Shanhai Pass is located. He was first impressed by the meandering Great Wall among the mountains when he went to erect high-voltage cables. He wondered why and how his Chinese ancestors had managed to build such a grand structure. In his spare time, Dong was a lover of literature. He wanted to go on a journey of discovery along the Great Wall.
The Great Wall was built section by section. Different groups of soldiers built different sections. Different groups of soldiers also guarded different sections of the Great Wall. I began to wonder if anybody had ever left their footprints along the whole length of the wall, from east to west, from one end to the other.
Dong decided that he wanted to be that first man. Dong was the epitome of the spirit of his times. In the early 1980s, China had entered a new era of reform and opening up to the outside world. People from all walks of life had begun to explore the world with new energy, curiosity, passion, and dreams. In 1981, Yang Liankang embarked on his 315-day journey of walking the length of the Yellow River. In May 1982, Yang successfully completed the journey. Dong was inspired by Yang's feat. The Yellow River, often called the Mother River of China, and the Great Wall are both symbols of the Chinese nation. Meandering along mountain ridges across northern China, the Great Wall was built on and off between the 3rd century BCE and the Ming Dynasty, which ruled China from the 14th to the 17th century. In ancient China, the Great Wall served as a defense system to protect the northern borders of the Chinese dynasties against intrusions by nomadic groups. Since the end of the Ming Dynasty, however, the wall had lost its defense value and much of it had been reduced to ruins or left in a derelict condition with the passage of time. As a result, there was meager knowledge or documentation in the early 1980s about this great man-made project. Only a few portions, such as the Badaling section in Beijing, had been well preserved or renovated for tourism. Until then, no one had explored the entire length of the Great Wall. When Dong shared his idea with his friends, Wu Deyu and Zhao Baozhong, Wu, being a romantic person, was so excited that he wanted to set off immediately. Zhao, with a calm and cautious personality, also agreed. But Dong told them that they would have to be well prepared for the adventure ahead of them. Determined to complete their odyssey, the trio did all they could to prepare themselves. They climbed mountains to improve their physical strength. They also tried to finish a 100-kilometer round trip within a day. They also armed themselves with all the necessary knowledge available at the time by searching and studying all the documents and books about the Great Wall. The trio even went to Beijing several times to seek counsel from Luo Zhiwen, a renowned antiquarian in ancient Chinese architecture. Originally, Dong had planned their preparatory work to last 3 years, but an unexpected development forced them to move forward their schedule. It was reported that some equally adventurous foreigners also planned to walk the Great Wall.
The newspaper reference news reported that some foreigners had applied with the Chinese government to explore the whole of the Great Wall of China. Therefore, we felt that we must move forward our schedule. We must undertake the work before the foreigners.
Dong and his friends insisted that it must be somebody Chinese who first walks the whole length of the Great Wall. This means the trio's adventure was linked to national pride. Thus, they codenamed their expedition Sons of China. But shortly before their historic expedition was set to begin, the team encountered its first setback. His friend Zhao Baozhong quit due to family reasons. Dong himself also faced many obstacles. In addition to his newlywed wife being pregnant and in need of extra care, his mother opposed his plan when he informed her 6 months before his scheduled date of departure. Finding himself in that situation, Dong felt great pressure. What was worse, difficulties abounded in his attempts to seek financial and logistics support from his work unit and the relevant authorities. His employer declined to give any financial or logistics support to Dong. They only agreed to retain his position while suspending his wages during the time Dong was engaged in his Great Wall expedition. The firm also clearly stated that they would not take any responsibility for any accidents he may have during his adventure. With no other choice, Dong accepted these terms, but more daunting obstacles lay ahead of him. In the early 1980s, Chinese residents were not encouraged to travel freely across the country. Whenever somebody wanted to go to another city or region, they were required to bring an introductory letter with them. The letter served as a travel permit issued by his or her work unit or local authorities. Having declined to take any responsibility for his adventure, Dong's work unit refused to issue such a letter for him. As a result, Dong had to seek support from other relevant institutions and local officials, but he faced one setback after another. Whenever he shared his plan with others, Dong encountered ridicule and misunderstanding.
In the era of iron bowls, I had a good job, but I was choosing to do something far removed from my work and life. People judged me as mentally abnormal.
Iron bowl, or tie fan wan in Chinese, was a term used to describe the stable, well-paid, and usually lifelong employment enjoyed by many Chinese residents largely during the 1950s through the 1980s, when China was in an era of a planned economy. By working for a public service agency, Dong's job belonged to the Iron Bowl category. Finally, the Association of Writers and Artists of Qinhuangdao City came to the rescue, as one of the group leaders was sympathetic to the young man's enthusiasm and adventurous spirit. Dong finally got the hard-won introductory letter. On May 3, 1984, the eve of their departure, Dong was so excited and anxious that he became sleepless.
After I calmed down, I disassembled my wife's bicycle. I thoroughly lubricated its axle. I also checked its chain, spokes, and brakes to ensure each part of the bike was in a good condition. I checked and fixed her bike thoroughly.
In this peculiar way, Dong expressed his care and love for his wife as he would be away from her for almost 2 years. Dong, then 27, finally embarked on his long-awaited Great Wall journey with his friend Wu Deyu. But what were the challenges along their journey, and how did they overcome them? Stay tuned to find out after a short break.
You've been listening to Footprints.
Here's a place called Lao Long To, or Old Dragon's Head. It's the easternmost tip of the Ming Dynasty Great Wall and part of the Shanhai Pass section. stretching from land to sea. And it was the starting point of the hiking expedition by Dong Yaohui and his friend Wu Deyu. 1 hour after they set off from here on May 4th, 1984, they arrived at the Shanhai Pass Watchtower. On the tower, officials of the Qinhuangdao city government held a ceremony seeing them off. Hearing about their adventure, locals from nearby villages also came to offer their best wishes.
At the ceremony, all the sentiments were to wish us a safe journey. In our hearts, we felt we had achieved half of our goal by taking the first step on the Great Wall. We had already overcome many obstacles and surpassed ourselves. Looking forward to the difficulties and challenges ahead of us, we were confident that we would succeed.
Soon, Dong and Wu received a piece of good news. A worker from northeast China named Zhang Yuanhua had requested to join the expedition. Being a photography lover, Zhang learned of the expedition from newspaper reports. With his camera, Zhang added a new dimension to the expedition, since he could document what they would see and discover. They were all equipped with backpacks donated by the Chinese Mountaineering Association.
Deyu's backpack was red, Yuanhua's was blue, while mine was yellow. These rucksacks were used by Pando and her fellow mountaineers during the ascent of Mount Chomoloma.
In May 1975, Panduo became the first woman in the world to reach the summit of Chumalongma, the Tibetan and Chinese name for Mount Everest via its north side. While Dong's exhibition can't be compared with that undertaken by Panduo, his hike of the Great Wall had its own challenges and dangers due to its snaking through some of China's most treacherous mountain ridges. 2 months into their journey, they arrived at the Gubei Co section of the Great Wall in Beijing.
This section is a zone of transition from the steep Wuli Mountains to relatively gentle slopes. Here, the Great Wall sits on Panlong Mountain. Panlong means the mountain looks like a zigzagging dragon. When we arrived here during our expedition, we were very excited.
Their excitement soon disappeared. Pain and suffering ensued. The scorching sun in the summer made them thirsty to the point of dehydration. But they couldn't carry large amounts of water as they often had to walk the steep sections of the Great Wall with both hands and feet. Their bodies couldn't even handle one more gram of extra burden. Throughout their journey, the trio each had their own roles. Wu Deyu was responsible for documenting the conditions of the Great Wall. This assigned task didn't conform to his original intention of seeking inspiration from the expedition for writing poetry. For Zhang Yuanhua, he hoped to stay longer at the sections where he found good views as he could take as many pictures as possible with his camera. Dong acted as head of the trio. His top priority was to ensure they fulfilled the day's hike strictly according to their plans. After a long period of being together, and because of divergent opinions about each other's roles, frictions and conflicts inevitably rose. Recalling such an experience decades later, Dong had an explanation.
Even a pair of lovers would go crazy if they stayed together 24 hours a day for more than 500 days, not to mention three men. Conflicts and friction occurred between us during our expedition. In my diary, I had written that when a stone rolled off a cliff, I cursed, "Why is not Wu or Zhang rolling off the cliff?" We became deranged. When we went to a nearby village, we hit a pig hard with our walking sticks. The pig screamed and ran away. The villagers chased us with a big shovel. Of course, they didn't beat us after cutting us. In normal times, you would not hit a pig for no reason. This was abnormal and irrational behavior. We were under great stress.
The trio came to the point of breaking up.
One day, Yuanhua left us after getting up in the morning without saying goodbye. I thought about it for a while, and then I also left without saying goodbye. We three left each other.
3 days later, Dong came across Zhang Yuanhua on a section of the Great Wall. In fact, Dong and Zhang began looking for each other once they calmed down.
两人非常的高兴，然后我们就找德裕，等了两天都没等到。
We were very happy. We then began looking for Wu Deyu. He didn't appear for another 2 days. John and I borrowed bikes from a nearby village. We rode back to the previous locations we had visited and stayed. We went to the village where Wu had last stayed. The villagers told us that Wu had gone to the nearest town. When we went there, we were informed that Wu had gone back to the city of Qinhuangdao.
Dong was disheartened by the news as Wu had been his close friend from the very beginning. Seeking to know why, Dong went back to Qinhuangdao to see Wu. He soon learned that Wu had found lots of clay pots when traveling on the Great Wall. The pots were being used by locals as utensils for storing grain and other daily necessities. Sensing the pots were valuable, Wu rented a horse-drawn cart to carry them to the nearest town. Then, Wu donated the antiques to a local cultural preservation agency. He also brought several fantastic pots with him and returned to Beijing and then to Qinhuangdao. He went there to seek professional counsel from antiquarians living in the two cities. When Dong met Wu back in Qinhuangdao, the two young men opened their hearts to each other and agreed to continue their journey on the Great Wall. Dong and Wu found Zhang, and the trio solved all the problems amongst themselves.
At the time, there was no convenient way of communication, such as mobile phones. Wu was not able to tell me when he decided to go back to Qinhuangdao. He told me he was sorry about that. After this incident, we never parted ways during the remainder of our Great Wall expedition. Each of us was so searching. Yuan Hua said he was older than me and Wu, therefore, as an elder brother, he should not have left us in the first place. I said that I should have played a more important role in our expedition and should not have left by myself after Yuan Hua left. De Yu also reflected on himself. From this point, we three stayed close together all the way to our finish point at Jiayu Pass of the Great Wall in Gansu Province.
With new impetus and solidarity, the trio forged ahead. After 508 days of an arduous journey, they arrived at Jiayu Pass, the western end of the Ming Dynasty Great Wall. The local authorities held a grand ceremony for them. The municipal government of Qinhuangdao also sent a delegation of a dozen members to congratulate them there. Reporters from many media outlets flocked to cover their accomplishment. Dong and his friends were taken back by the ceremony.
When we saw everybody at the grand ceremony, our first response was how much this must have cost. They asked us to say a few words. We were simple-minded and said what came to mind. It turned out that what we said was not in line with the festive atmosphere and what they had expected us to say. You know, we had traveled for hundreds of days along the Great Wall, which sits among remote mountains. We had somehow lost the sense of how to interact with others as members of the society. We just spoke our minds without caring for others' feelings.
The Great Wall journey made headlines across the country, and the trio was treated like national heroes. They were invited to take part in a nationwide tour and share their heroic deeds with willing audiences. But Dong, on behalf of the trio, made a surprising decision. He imposed three rules.
First, we would never give lectures about our expedition on any occasion. Second, we should not seek or obtain any honors or awards from the government or other kinds of organizations. Third, we would not accept media interviews. Why did we make such a decision? The floods of praise we received after our Great Wall expedition made us feel as though we could fly. But we soon realized that such feelings were not right and not good for us.
The trio strictly observed the rules. They turned their attention to the preservation and academic study of the Great Wall. Dong and Wu co-wrote a book called Facts About the Ming Dynasty Great Wall, drawing from their first-hand materials collected during their hike. Renowned Chinese historian Zhou Gucheng gave a high rating of the book, saying it was a masterpiece composed by feet. In one section of the book, Dong recorded the damaging activities by locals beside one section of the Great Wall.
Scorpions can sell at very high price in the local markets. Flocks of teenagers come to remove the bricks of the Great Wall in order to catch the scorpions. As a result, this kind of activity has caused much damage to the originally well-preserved section of the Great Wall.
After Dong learned about this problem, he went to the villages to persuade the locals to stop their harmful activities. During his interactions with locals at a village called Jiangang, he discovered a stone stele which detailed how the Great Wall section there was built during Emperor Chongzhen's reign in the early 17th century. Along with his words inscribed on the stele, Dong's book was full of other similar findings, all of which carry great significance in the study and preservation of the Great Wall.
The more you learn about the Great Wall, the more you feel that a lot needs to be done. There are many things for us and future generations to do for this great man-made project. Taking it as a mission for me to fulfill, I firmly devoted my life to the Great Wall. The ending of our expedition marked a new beginning for me.
But what would Dong do for the Great Wall in terms of its preservation? And what difficulties has he faced during his self-imposed mission? We'll find the answers in the second episode of our story about Dong Yaohui, son of the Great Wall. From our program producer, Yin Xiuqi, this is Tony Reed. Thanks for listening. Until next time, bye for now.